I'd like to go back to Isaiah. In Isaiah 42, 49, 50, and then we discussed a lot of 52 and 53 this morning. But these are things that we can learn about the servant, and just like to take a bit of time in some of these verses, and then going back to Isaiah 53, I was doing a study and came across this, where it gives a list of the prophecies, and so it means that you're jumping back and forth. But I hope that this will help us as we look at Isaiah 53 again, and in prophecies that are in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in Jesus. But starting off in Isaiah 42, verses 1 to 4, talks about the compassionate or chosen servant. He says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him." And this was the prophecy fulfilled at the baptism of Jesus. "He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto death, under truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." And I guess the prophet throws that when you're reading the Old Testament and you do see verses of scripture in the New, and you just have thoughts as to, you know, why it's in the Old Testament, what purpose is it if we read it in the New. And if we look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 14 to 20, it says, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him," that's against Jesus, "how they might destroy him." Verse 15, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known." Then verse 17, "That it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased." And even in Isaiah 53, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. I will put my spirit upon him." And we know that at the baptism of Jesus, spirit of a dove came, or the dove came, and then he says, "And he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Then if we further consider the Lord Jesus Christ, I would say the title of this portion is the compassionate or chosen servant, if you think of the compassionate servant. And we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Again, what we often read in the Old Testament, we can apply it to what is said in the New Testament, and to think of Jesus as servant. It says in Philippians 2, 5 and verse 8, "He humbled, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. So here we have one who knew that the Pharisees were against him. They were trying to destroy him. And I like verse 15 because it says that when he knew it, he withdrew himself. But it says the great multitudes followed him, and he didn't leave them alone. As they followed him, it says he healed them all. What a compassionate servant. What a compassionate Lord that we have who cares for us. He cares about our infirmities. He knows the struggles that we are going through, and yet he is able to guide and encourage and help us. When we go through difficulties and situations, I think there are times when we think that no one cares. And in some cases, if you're alone or whatever, you may feel that. But know this, there is one who does care. That is the Lord Jesus. Then if we look to Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7, talks about the despised servant. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me. And he said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, my work with my God. Verse 5, And now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. If we look at Acts chapter 13, verse 47, it says, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And then continuing on, verse 7 of Isaiah 49, Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. So we have the compassionate servant, in Isaiah 42, the despised servant, but even despised, he is there to bring salvation to the Gentiles. And then Isaiah 50 talks about the humiliated servant. Thus saith the Lord, Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I put away? Of which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. Then verse 4, The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. And talk about the obedience of the Lord and his humiliation. And verse 5 says, "The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." Then verse 6, "I gave my back to the smiters, and from my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. For see, he is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of a servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." And we talked about Romans 8, verses 31 to 39 this morning. And as a result of that, we can have victory in Jesus. Verse 5 again of Isaiah 50, "The Lord hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back." And certainly we know that when Jesus was being crucified, "I gave my back to the smiters," the lashing that he endured. When it says, "and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair," we know that took place as well. He said, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." When we, I think, gather on a Sunday morning to remember the Lord as our Savior, oftentimes we, I think, wonder about all that he endured for us. And I think, too, we wonder, why did he have to endure all of that? But it goes to the attitude of man and how wicked man is, that they would take one who was going to die for them on that cross. And even though the soldiers took those cruel whip, or took the cruel whip and beat him on the back, and to think that someone would grab the hair on your face and pull it, and then even as some have it, I don't think any of us might have experienced it here, but we've heard of people who have been spit in the face. And not only is it humiliating, but shaming as well. These verses remind me of how much the Lord loved us, how much he was willing to endure. And we can be thankful that we can have victory in Jesus, because he tells us in his word that as his followers, we are going to suffer persecution. We are going to endure things that people around us might not, but because we belong to Christ, we can expect that some of these things could happen to us. But when we look at Isaiah 53, there are six things that occurred that we went through this morning, but I would just like to put them in order of what happened in the New Testament. For example, number one is he was rejected by his own people, the Jews. But if you look at Isaiah 53, you would have to go down to Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. And he says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant," so this is as a child, "and as a root of a dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid his word, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." So here, in this chapter, we have 2 and 3 of the first prophecy fulfilled by Jesus. Rejected by his own people, the Jews. John 1:11 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Then if we look at Luke chapter 23, verse 18, and then 20-21, it says, "And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him." We can also read about this in Matthew 27. So this is the first from this chapter, a prophecy fulfilled, taken from Isaiah 53, verses 2 and 3. But then the second one, we go back to verse 1. And it says, "They believed not on him. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" John 12:37-38 says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Then Romans 10:16-17 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You know, hearing with the ears is not enough. A person must hear with an open heart and mind, willing to be shown the truth of God. As we shared this morning, you and I need to be open to hear the word of God. So many, and you know, even talking at the table, having lunch, that so many hear the word week after week, year after year, and yet they still haven't opened their heart to receive the Lord as their personal Savior. So hearing with the ears is not enough. We must hear with an open heart and mind, willing to be shown the truth of God. So we have the second prophecy fulfilled from this chapter, mentioned in the new chapter about, in the New Testament, about our Lord and Savior. Then for the third one, we need to go down to verse 7. Says that he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So he was silent to the accusations brought against him. In Mark chapter 15, verses 3-5, "And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled." So here, the servant's sinlessness, and yet silent to his accusers. And then we need to go back to verses 4 to 6. And regarding the servant substitution or his vicarious sacrifice, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Are we like sheep have gone astray? We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as we look at the life of Christ, and as we read through the Gospels, the things that happened to him, rejected by his own people, they believed not on him. He was silent before his accusers, and now the vicarious sacrifice, as we read in Romans 5:6-8, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Then we have, he was crucified with the malefactors. And for that we need to go to Isaiah 53, 10 to the end. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of a soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors." So again, if we look at the Gospels and the epistles, we find the order of events that happened to our Lord. And we find that in Mark chapter 15, verse 27 to 28, it says, "And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors." In Luke 23:34, regarding intercession, it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I'm sure most of us love this chapter of Isaiah 53, but as much as just trying to put into perspective, as we look at the life of Christ and the things that happened to him from his birth up to the cross, we can take these verses, and yes, we're moving back and forth, but it can picture for us how the Lord was willing to go to the cross and die for us. Then number 6 is buried with the rich. He was taken from prison and from judgment, Isaiah 53:8-9. "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." And again, we can look at Matthew 27:57-60. But for me, since I was already in Mark chapter 15, I just went further down, and Mark 15:43-46 reads thus: "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus." Here was one who was bold enough to go and say to Pilate, "I would like the body of Jesus for burial." Verse 44 says, and Pilate marveled again. We had read before about Pilate marveling at the silence of the Lord in not responding to his accusers. And Pilate marveled, "If he were already dead," and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down, wrapped him in the linen, laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And we know that Jesus was put in a tomb, new tomb, someone who had it and was willing to allow and the Lord to be buried there. He laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. When we think of this chapter and the different aspects of how it applies to the Lord as we read it and meditate upon it, and certainly for me to go through this chapter and read the various things that apply to the Lord. And as mentioned very often, it's been read at the breaking of bread service, and it's such a precious chapter to us that, I think the only thing that will add to it is I came across this hymn, and I didn't know when I was in the Tavistock whether they knew it or not. I've been speaking there before, and I asked about a hymn, and the penis says, I don't know it. And so anyway, I asked Catherine whether she knew this hymn. 123. If we could just close with this hymn after the hymn, then I'll just close in prayer. But this hymn certainly speaks to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. For our guilt, he gave us peace. From our bondage, gave release. With his stripes, with his stripes, with his stripes, our souls are healed. Number 123. Thankful that you loved us, that you sent your only begotten Son into this world. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to be smitten. You were willing to have those lashes upon your back, willing to endure so much for us, the pain that was inflicted upon you. But we thank you most of all that because of your love for us, you went to that cross of Calvary. We thank you that our sins were laid on you, that you bore them, that you also shed your precious blood. And your blood has cleansed us from all sin. We thank you, O God, for the power of your word that is able to change and transform lives. But Father, those of us who have accepted Christ and those that need to, choices need to be made. And so we pray that if there are still those outside of Christ, that they would make that decision today. Not leave it as the devil would like. Just wait another day. Father, may you be with us. Guide us to our homes in safety. Watch over us, Lord. Father, you know the different things that are going on in our lives, and we certainly need you day by day. And we praise and thank you that you are with us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So dismiss us with thy blessing, we pray. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.